Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, welcome back to another awesome episode of Soft Web Radio. I am your host, Rad, and today I have very special guests. I actually have 2 guests. But before I introduce you to the first guest on the show today, I want to talk about our merch store, right? You guys have supported us. You've been keeping the lights on and the fireplace lit by going into the merch shop on softrep.com. Keep buying some stuff, picking it up. I really appreciate it. We all do. Brandon Webb says thanks. I say thanks. All of the guys behind the scenes, our producers, we really appreciate you picking up the merch, the coffee mugs, the torch lights, all that stuff. I also want to reference our book club. We like to read around here. We have lots of books that just hang out. Like, let me just grab some here. Like, Call Me Hunter. We have Androne right here. I got lots of books, okay? Steel Fear from Brandon Webb. All these books. Go check out our book club. That is softrep.com, book-club, as I put away the rest of my books here. Now, with that said, I have a command sergeant major with me today, goes by the name of Charles V. Sasser Jr. Command sergeant major, retired Charles V. Sasser Jr. is whose career in the United States Army spanned 3 decades. He served in a multitude of leadership and duty positions. Born in 1966, Charles entered the Army in August of 84 with a deep commitment to serve his country. His early years in the military saw him undergo training at Fort Benning, now Fort Liberty, Georgia, where he completed basic training and infantry advanced individual training, or AIT, setting the foundation for a career that would take him to the far corners of the world. Throughout his military career, Charles had numerous assignments and deployments. He served in various divisions, including the 24th, 101st, 82nd, 25th, 2nd, 4th, and the 1st Infantry Division, where he ascends to the pinnacle of enlisted leadership as the division's command sergeant major. Charles's leadership journey also included roles such as Brigadier Operations Sergeant Major, Small Group Leader at the 101st NCO Academy, Recruiter in Southern California, and an Observer Controller at the National Training Center. Charles's commitment to professional development was unwavering. He completed all the non-commissioned officer education courses, the first sergeant course, and pursued additional specialized training that included the Ranger course, air assault, rappel master course, airborne and jump master course, pathfinder course, and the joint firepower control course. These courses enhanced his skills and knowledge, making him a well-rounded leader in the military. Throughout his career, Charles embarked on numerous deployments to regions such as Panama, the Sinai, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. His combat experiences and leadership in these diverse and challenging environments demonstrated his unwavering dedication to his country and the defense of its interests. Charles' dedication and exemplary service were recognized through a myriad of prestigious awards and decorations. His accolades include 2 Legions of Merit, 3 Bronze Stars medals, and numerous other honors. These awards were a testament to his outstanding contributions and leadership in the Army. Upon retiring from the military in 2014, Charles transitioned seamlessly into the field of defense contracting, where he continued to make a significant impact. His expertise in military training and development led him to roles where he trained and advised military forces in countries like the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Iraq, Nigeria, and Afghanistan. He played a crucial role in enhancing the capabilities of these forces and contributed to their readiness. Charles' post-military career was marked by versatility and adaptability. He served as a protective security specialist at the U.S. consulate in Kurdish Iraq, where he was responsible for coordinating protective operations and assessing security threats. His certifications in firearms training, compound defense, explosive counterterrorism measures, and personal protection reflected his comprehensive understanding of security measures and the risk of mitigation. Furthermore, Charles ventured into strategy and operations consulting, drawing on his extensive military experience to provide invaluable insights and guidance. Charles' commitment to personal growth was evident in his graduation from the prestigious National Defense University Keystone course. This program, designed for command senior enlisted leaders called CCELs, honed his leadership skills and provided invaluable insights into joint operations and national security, further expanding his knowledge and capabilities. Charles and his wife, Frances. Hello, Frances. Have a daughter, Amanda, and a son, Sean. We have Sean on the show with us. They have been married for nearly 40 years. And I think, Command Sergeant Major, at the end of all of that, that 40-year commitment is your best business contract you've ever been a part of.
Absolutely.
Well, well, well. Sean, I'll get to you in just a second. All right. You came from this man's resume. All right. You are the spawn. He pestered your mom the right night at the right time. And here you are. Okay. There's a lot of I'm tired, bro. I don't know, Sean. You know, Mother's Day is totally about the mom, but Father's Day is thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot. Welcome to the show, both of you, Sean, Charles.
I was going to say, that's all the time we have.
Exactly. And we're out. No, it's wonderful to have you. Now, Sean, being the son of Charles here, I haven't even looked at your dossier yet. You know, let's just read it cold, shall we? Should we hit it? Let's do it.
Do it.
Okay.
Not quite as long and offensive, but
it's not. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to read into Sean's background so you guys know who we're talking to. Sean was born on June 10th, 1988 in Frankfurt, Germany to Charles and Frances. His older sister, Amanda, his parents chose to name him the Irish version after their best friend and army buddy, John, who coincidentally shared the same birthday. He started preschool and kindergarten in Fort Campbell, Kentucky after his family moved there from Germany, being a military brat. Sean's parents encouraged him to explore various sports and activities to find his passion. Soccer and chess captured his attention, revealing his innate strategy thinking and aptitude for math. These formative years laid the foundation for his love for competition. The family relocated to Southern California, where Sean attended school in Highland. During his time there, he delved into sports, participating in swimming, chess, and other activities. Sean's strategic mind continued to shine, particularly in chess, where he excelled. Next, they moved to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Again, you know, those names are changing with the bases, but again, where Sean attended 5th and 6th grade. His academic excellence led to his enrollment in advanced classes. Returning to California and later settling in Hawaii for his high school years, Sean became deeply involved in sports. He also explored new hobbies, including skateboarding, dirt bike riding, and wrestling. Now in Hawaii, he played baseball, ran track, and developed a fever for football. His passion for football grew, and he immersed himself in the sport, gaining extensive knowledge, especially in college football. Now, after graduating from high school, Sean decided to follow in his family's tradition of military service. Although he initially considered the Special Forces program, he opted for an intel job with the Army, heeding his dad's advice to volunteer for the Ranger Regiment. Sean served as a human intelligence collector, interrogator, and spent time at the regiment's Special Troops Battalion, also known as the STB. His dedication and skills were recognized, and he worked alongside of Navy SEALs, the Navy SEAL teams during his deployment to Iraq in 2008. Throughout his military service, Sean received valuable training and experiences in the special operations community. He was stationed in various locations, including Fort Lewis, Washington, and Hawaii. Despite facing injuries during his deployment, he left the Army as a sergeant. After leaving the military, Sean embarked on a journey of self-discovery, as we all have, Sean. He traveled across the United States, stayed in Nebraska for a time, and eventually settled in the Fort Carson, Colorado Springs area. There, he pursued a degree in kinesiology and strength training. Did I say that right?
Yeah, my degree isn't exactly in kinesiology. It's I have a bachelor's in health sciences with a focus on strength conditioning.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And now let me just finish the rest of this little intro here. During his junior year, Sean earned an internship with the University of Colorado Buffalo team, which is very much popular right now, for sure, right? Solidifying his passion for the sport, the team appreciated his dedication and invited him back for all of the home games. Sean's love for football and his extensive knowledge of the game grew stronger. Throughout his life, Sean's love for reading and his interest in philosophy have remained constant. He aspires to earn his master's degree in philosophy, combining his intellectual pursuits with his passion for football. Sean's journey from his early years in Germany to his time in the military and his dedication to football and education paints a wonderful portrait of a resilient and intellectually curious individual. His experiences have shaped him into the person he is today, combining strategic thinking, physical fitness, and a thirst of knowledge in his pursuit of success and fulfillment. Okay? I just want you to know this is the biggest introduction I've done for anybody on my show, the longest. I would love to see these. If you want to write in and be on the show, send me one of these. I'd love to introduce you like that because we get to know you on the show. Now, I have both of you here. Charles, you joined the military at a young age. You decided that this is what you were going to do. Was that something that you always dreamed about doing, was just being in the military, or were you looking at like baseball?
So my father was in the Air Force, got uncles in the Air Force, uncles in the Army, an uncle that was in the Marines. One of my grandfathers was in the service. So it was kind of like a natural step to join one of the services. We ended up, when I was in elementary school, fifth grade, around Pope Air Force Base and Fort Bragg now, as you said, Fort Liberty. And so it was around a lot of the 82nd, a lot of the Army folks. And so I decided to go the Army route. Now, when I first went in, I didn't, Francis and I got married right out of high school. I went off to basic in AIT and got stationed in Fort Stewart. And the plan was unknown. I didn't know if I was going to stay in for that 4 years that I initially enlisted for, or continue. Of course, I, you know, did re-enlist, and then even up to about 10 years. After 10, then I became a senior NCO and kind of started maturing in the military. You know, I decided I was going to stay in at least 20 to retirement. Of course, 20 hits, and I'm doing well. Then 9/11 hits, and it's, you know, deployment back. And before you know it, 30 years is up, and I had went exceedingly further than I ever imagined, you know, blessed to become the Command Sergeant Major, like you said, for the 1st Infantry Division. And even then, I was going to stay in past 30. I was actually going to come out of the program for anybody that works for a general. Command Sergeant Major works for a general. It's known as the nominative program. So I was going to come out of that because I just needed a break. I deployed. And back and deployed, back and deployed, back. And I was just tired. And I was going to go down to Fort Bliss to the Sergeant Major Academy and run the international program. And I discussed it with the commandant down there and the Sergeant Major of the Army. And, you know, he said, fine. He said, you know, go down there, refresh. And when you want to go back into the program, let us know. And then I could compete for 3- and 4-star nominative positions. Then we came out to Florida to watch a promotion ceremony for a guy named Randy George, who is now the Chief of Staff of the Army, current, the brand new Chief of Staff, just confirmed. He was my brigade commander, the one that hired me as the brigade command sergeant major under the old system of how they used to select. And so we came out to watch him get his star pin. He made general officer. And we were just tooling around the Tampa area where he was stationed down there working at CENTCOM. And we kind of looked at each other, and everybody always says in the Army, and I'm sure they say it everywhere, you know, you kind of know when it's time to stop, when it's time to retire, when it's time to quit doing it. It's almost like, you know, we both had the same light bulb. see, I'm going to go back and call the Sergeant Major of the Army and let them know I'm just going to retire.
Yeah.
So it was the right choice, a good choice. Again, I got into defense contracting, so I didn't get far away. I like being around any military, and training is my passion, especially training military, teaching, instructing. Right. Sean enjoys it as well. He, matter of fact, he coached high school football for a while there in the Colorado Springs area. One thing that wasn't on his bio. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of brought me to where I'm at now. Still going, doing some security work here around the Orlando area. Not sure if I'm going to go back overseas or not. I've got some offers for that and for some other things, but I'm having a good time still, and you know, still fit, even though, you know, I had some injuries and some arthritis and some other things that go along with, you know, getting older. But
are you sure about that? You sure about that?
Still enjoying life. And then Sean just moved out here to the Orlando area this past year. So if we could convince his sister and family to move down here, we'll all be Floridians.
Amanda, is that right? Did I remember that? Yeah, you're Amanda.
Yeah, she's got three little boys, and they live up in Illinois. So we're trying to convince them to come down here to Florida. But
that's where Grandpa's at. Built-in babysitters right there, Uncle and Grandpa right there. Amanda, you know, you want some free time? Try to help sway the scales here, right? Now, following in your father's footsteps, you know, I also come from my father behind me on this mantle with his flag. He's a former Green Beret, passed away, you know, and I also had the relatives that were, you know, in the military, grandfather, World War II, et cetera, you know, all the way to like Napoleon. I'm related to these guys that are, you know, military. So it's like, did you think military, was that 17 high school? You're like, that's it for me. I'm going.
I think from the moment that I could conceptualize a career, I think that's what I wanted to do. That was always in the back of my mind. Yeah. This guy was always, you know, my hero growing up.
Right, me, same.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, and I didn't. And like he had said, his dad was in the Air Force too. So we always had military in our family. Growing up a military brat, I was always around the military. All of our friends, all of his friends were military. So I was always around it. There was always in the back of my mind a sense of, this is what I'm going to end up doing. Once I got to high school, though, I really got obsessed with football, and I really wanted to play college ball, and that didn't pan out. I'm thankful for it now, but I wanted to follow in his footsteps and go infantry. And this was always, you know, as a kid, you don't really know that much about what, you know, the differences between military jobs and the trajectory that sends you after you get out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't care. I wasn't thinking about that. And he wouldn't let me do it. He talked me out of it. He said, because of my, you know, ASVAB scores, wherever they ranked, and because of the military need at the time for intel, he basically said, no, you're not going infantry. You're going this human route. And so I trusted in his word, and I'm glad I did, because it led me on a fun path in the military, and I highly enjoyed my job.
You know, that's good advice, you know, to say, hey, try to actually come out of the military with more than just a ground pounding resume, which is no offense, you know, ground pounding, but, you know, coming out with something a little bit more technical that the Army's put into your brain cells. That's what's up, right? Because it's in there, right? They made sure you read those books and that you passed those courses on that subject, right?
Yeah, I think everybody that is a fan of the military or has military background, you know, we got some Tom Clancy novels back here. You read like the Jack Carr's coming out with these new novels. You read this and you want to be, every boy that grows up in a military family wants to become this operator, you know, right, this badass. And again, I spent some time amongst badasses. I was never one myself. You know, I was thankful to be in regiment, work with SEALs and all these guys. And but I'm glad, you know, in a sense, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, I would have liked to, you know, see into that realm a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm glad that he, you know, talked some sense into me. And like I said, I really enjoyed it. It was different, and it was, what would you say? It was interesting, to say the least, dealing with.
Let me probe you a little bit. Now, so we know right now that recruiting and retention in the Army and in the military across the boards, looking for a few good men, be all you can be, you know, go Navy, join the Coast Guard, would you redo it? You know, would you go back and say, hey, it was worth raising my hand, making that decision to join, going through all of what you went through and doing it again? You know, for the listener out there who might be on the fence, they might be on possibly walking into a recruiter's office.
I would do it again, personally. Yeah, I, you know, like everybody, I think, that is a veteran that's deployed, you know, dealt with some issues, and I'm still dealing with some of those issues, but I would do it all over again. I think if you're able to parse out, you know, the good from the bad, learn your lessons from the bad, help them, you know, allow you to grow as an individual, it's worth it at the end of the day. And I wouldn't trade, you know, I'm sure one day we'll all share a beer in person and we can trade some more stories. But when you get those that kind of build your character, and, you know, when you're writing your memoirs in your head towards the end of your life, I think those are worth it. So I made some really amazing, I met some really amazing people, raising, you know, some of the closest friends in my life are still, they never live near me, but they're still, you know, it's like I can go years without talking to these guys. And because, mm-hmm. you know, you share these deployments together, you pick up a phone or you drive to their city. Hey, Boone. Hey, Hank. Hey, I need a couch. I need a bed today. I got you.
I agree. I mean, that's why people typically, you know, 99% will say they do it again. Not because of, or in my opinion anyway, not because mm-hmm. of everything that they did and all the things that they achieved, but mostly because of just the people. And without, if in your mind, if you go, well, if I say I wouldn't do that again, then I wouldn't have all these great friends. We were coming back from, I was driving down from Washington to here with him when he moved out here a few months ago. And we stopped by a guy's house that he knows because he was my platoon leader in the 82nd. And stayed in touch. As a matter of fact, he went to your basic training graduation. I think I was deployed.
Shout out to Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl.
What's up, Daryl?
So he lived down in the near Dallas in McKinney. Hadn't talked to him, hadn't seen him other than, you know, some texts and things like that. Walk in, and it's like, you know, we just saw him yesterday. And then, you know, we started telling more stories.
And it was just like,
next thing you know, it's, you know, 2:00 in the morning. needless to say, we didn't drive the next day. We were going to take off, but Daryl got us. And so we stayed an additional day, recovered a little, and chatted with him. But, you know, we both got those friends, you know, and my friends or his friends as well. Big John McComb, who has the same birthday, you know, lives out in Kansas. He was in the Army for a while. And, you know, great guy. We can do the same thing with him and many others.
So it's really just a bond of the person next to you, like in Black Hawk Down, the movie, where it's the anniversary right around Operation Gothic Serpent, you know, Danny McKnight and all of them. I think there's a quote in there where he's like, you know, we do it because of the guy next to us. You know, most people don't understand why we do it. It's because of the guy next to him is doing it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, when you get there in those situations, that is what you're doing it for.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah, you're doing it for your country and, you know, the nation and other people. But mostly at that point, it's just, you know, you're thinking about the person next to you.
You want Bobby to come home and Bobby wants you to come home. So it's like you're doing it for each other. It's like, oh, yeah. I want, you know, the heart's there, the patriotism's there. But once you're in it, I'm sure it's like, we're just going to get home, bro. And then I'm going to meet your wife and you're going to meet my wife and we're going to have. Our kids are going to hang out and we're going to have these great relationships. And then, like you said, a few years goes by after you get out and you guys still click and it's still like, hey, we still have that love for one another, that bond, right? Never broken.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Yeah. And, you know, back to Sean going in, he's got such a strategic, forward-thinking mind that, you know, he needed to do something more. It's funny because my ASVAB scores, the best parts of my ASVAB scores when I ran were clerical, it helped me in the end because as you grow in the Army, you have to do more administrative stuff. And so, you know, I got pretty good at it. And the ASVAB told me that I would be good at it. But, I knew that the Ranger Regiment was standing up. It was brand new. It was the first command team. And first command team was a guy named Jim Mingus, who is now the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, who was the brigade commander right after Randy George. So I ended up knowing him, but before that time, I'm sitting in Iraq or Afghanistan. Sean's in Iraq, and I used to call him and talk to him. And I said, "Hey," he had met Randy George. I said, "Hey, this guy named Jim Mingus is going to replace Randy as the brigade commander." And I said, "I've heard that name somewhere before." And Sean said, "Yeah, I know where you know it from." I'm like, "How the hell do you know where I know it from? I mean, you hadn't been in the Army, but, you know, a few days." And he said he was my battalion commander. So he was Sean's battalion commander, the very first regimental STB commander. And then as he made full colonel, he replaced Randy George. So this guy was his commander and my commander, both. So small world.
The last name, Sasser, you're a sergeant. He's a, you know, sergeant major. Is there a shadow that you're getting? So I go to the VA and they look up my last name and they're like, my dad went to the VA and they looked up the last name and they're like, "Are you Aaron?" And he's like, "Do I look like a leg to you?" That's what he said to him. Okay. Cause I'm the Aaron, right? And I'm the leg. And he said that to the clerk. And my mom's like, "You should have heard what your dad said when they asked if he was you." Cause we're both in the VA. Now, what about you? Do you have any of those types of like, "Hey, Sasser, come here. Is this your dad?"
You know, it's such a uncommon name outside of him, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if I ever crossed paths with anybody that worked with him. I'm trying to think outside of Colonel Mingus or Colonel Mingus now. I don't know if I ever crossed paths with anybody. We got a funny indirect story where his, his inspiration crossed paths with some of the guys that I worked with. So we're sitting around one day in the office. I'm pretty sure it's a Friday. You know, most Fridays we come back from lunch. And this is when I was at bedding in regiment still. And our platoon sergeant, Sergeant Burskin, we called him Daddy B. Daddy B sitting there behind his desk. And I hear him chatting with some of the squad leaders and team leaders. You know, I'm a Joe at the time, like a private or a PFC. And they're talking about this, how they were at the bar or the club or something, and they're doing this jump master dance. And I'm like, "Huh, that's funny." And, you know, flashback outside of the story, years ago, him and his buddy, I don't even, was it in Bragg or Buffalo?
No, it was somewhere. It was at a club in Bragg.
In Bragg. So in Bragg, him and his Daryl, before mentioned Daryl, started this jump master dance where they would, they're at the bar dicking around, and they're
jamming. The music's playing. We were both going through jump master school at the same time, so we started doing this kind of, you know, deal with, you know, using the JMPI. as a dance.
Like looking and out the door, making sure it's all clear, you know, making sure.
And there's a huge, you know, huge circle around everybody's loving in the bar. And so they start talking about this. And I'm just, you know, listening. Like I'm sure I got a shit-eating grin on my face. And I'm like, you know, I throw it in there casually. Like, hey, my dad and his PL, they invented that. Like, they started that back in the day. And they're like, oh, man, there's no way. Get out of here. I'm like, I'll prove it. So I get them on the phone. I don't say anything. I say, hey, you, Daryl, you know, dance or bar. And he goes, oh, yeah, JMPI dance. And I hang up. And everybody's like, ah!
So it's become a lore, legend.
Yeah. So that's, you know, you see the influences of that. And that was, you know, we had a kick out of that. But going back to your question, I don't know if I ever crossed paths with anybody that worked with you. I'm trying to think. I'm sure I did, but I can't think of any.
It didn't dawn on them, and now maybe after they're like, wait a second, okay, this is all making sense, right?
Yeah.
No, you ran your own rucks. You ran your own, you know, did everything you had to do. Did your own push-ups, did your own pull-ups. You had to do all those things to do what you had to do. Dad just had to bug mom to get you to do those things.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Now, I want to talk about Charles has a rack, okay? When I mean a rack, I mean, like, I know your eyes are up here, okay, Sergeant Major? But, like, right over here, see, what side am I? Oh, yeah, left side, okay? You've got more than jump wings. You got more than, like, a CIB or a CAB badge. You got more than a Pathfinder badge. You got, like, 4 or 5 Pokemon collectibles there that I like to call, you know, awards that you've earned. Is it Pathfinder, right? Pathfinder?
Yep.
Okay. Airborne?
Everything that I did, a lot of people will go to, you know, they'll just get these, you know, spots and chances to go to these places, which is a little wrong with it. But I went to airborne school right before I went to the 82nd. So I had to go. So I didn't go to airborne school right away in the military. I went to Jumpmaster school because I was there in the 82nd. I went to Air Assault School and Repel Master course because I was part of the 101st. I was in a Pathfinder position out at NTC, although we were OCs and kind of, you know, managing and evaluating the units that come through, or helping them evaluate themselves. The position that I was in, I was a OC for scouts, and you know, was a had that embedded in it. So I did it then. So, you know, all that's in, of course, Ranger School. I mean, yeah, infantry guy. You know, you kind of want to do it just to get that experience and, you know, see how far you can push yourself and do that. And I actually went to Ranger School twice because I was injured the first time and left in the mountains. So I knew what was expected up till then. But, all that stuff I did was because of a position I was in. So it kind of just all added up to the big, you know, stack, as you say.
Yeah, you kind of just went step by step by step of your daily life, and the next day you're now, okay, cool, I'm going through Ranger, you know, NDOC or whatnot, and trying to push that through. That was like a 2-week program to get through the Ranger indoctrination to go to Ranger school. Is that right?
So when I went to Ranger school, I didn't do a RIP. Now a lot of units require people to do a little pre-Ranger course before they go. But I didn't do it. They did have, I don't know if they still have it, but they did have 0 week, which didn't count towards anything except for you got the chance to get out on the land out course, go ahead and take the PT test, the swim test, practice on the obstacle courses, and, you know, do a 12-miler and all that. So when everybody else came in after 0 week, you had already knocked out quite a few things. So that did make it easier.
So let me ask you something about that. Let me ask you something about RIP real quick, or about, like, going through the course. As someone who's possibly in the military right now wanting to go through the Ranger course, and they're thinking about it, and you've done that, do you have access to run the course and, like, train on it prior? Like, are you going in blind, not knowing that you got to swing across XYZ? I mean, is it the Weaver or any of that kind of stuff? Like, do they give you access to that? Is there, like, some kind of preconditioning workup where you can get familiar with those movements?
So, I mean, obviously you got to know how to swim. So, you know, practicing the swim test that they do there is absolutely, a good idea, because you don't want to go all the way there and fail that. You know, you need to be able to pass the PT test, which their PT test includes, and I believe it's still the same way, chin-ups or pull-ups. So you got to be able to do that. Land navigation, get out, you know, and be familiar with that. Because once you get through what they call the RAP, the Ranger Assessment Phase portion of it, where they kind of weed out everybody that shouldn't be there because they
got weeded out,
mentally ready or mentally ready or whatever, then you kind of just get on with the patrolling and all that. And there's not a lot of, I mean, there's still the, you know, the smoke fest where they, dog you out, but it's all learning and patrolling then. And then it's just a matter of, hey, I got to suck it up without the sleep. And then the worst thing for me was the food, because I love to eat.
Yeah.
The sleep didn't get me that bad, although I did struggle a few times, but just eating, I think I lost 20 some pounds.
And but push yourself.
The Army's got some great, the National Guard actually runs, when I was in, we were sending people to a National Guard, had a pre-ranger right at Fort Benning, or I can't even remember what it's called now. Anyway, they've got one there that I think it was had the highest rate of first time goes or passing all the way through of any other pre-ranger. Because if you run a pre-ranger as 1st Infantry Division or the 82nd or as 4th, you got to take those instructors and all those people out of hide. You know, you're not task organized with those people that do that. So you actually have to do it on your own. So it's a great deal to be able to send people somewhere where that's all they're focused on. And one of the guys that runs it used to work out at the Ranger camp. He's now a civilian as their kind of their XO or deputy commanding officer or something. Now I was never in the Ranger Regiment. Sean had to go through, what do I call it now, RASP and
Ranger Assessment Selection Program.
Certain leaders have to go through RASP and
used to be RIP and ROPE.
RIP and ROPE, yes,
right. Listed in
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
So you went through also the Ranger program, right, Sean?
I never got tabbed, but I went through RIP. It's called RASP now. It's the selection right. process to get into regiment, but it's probably one of the only, if not the only regret of my military career is because this one gets to talk smack on me as I never got tabbed. So
I'm a leg. I have to live with a Green Beret calling me a leg, but I'm his leg. So you're his.
But the 4 weeks of RIP was no joke. It's, we started out with 157 and 55 made it. So about a 2/3 attrition rate in the RIP program there. And it was hell.
I've heard stories of guys going through, you know, the indoc and some things that I still want to say because I don't know, but, you know, it just sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was the best 4 weeks of my life, we'll say, yeah, for sure.
Right, it's a good way to sum it up, right? So I don't want to scare someone on the fence of going Ranger. Go do it, right? Go check it out. Go get in the regiment.
Yeah, if you have the intestinal fortitude, that's the place to, that's the place to test it.
It's at some point you just got to laugh when you're there. You got to give it in and laugh. I mean, and I used to tell a lot of Ranger instructors, I'll quit tomorrow because they were all laughing and wanted to quit. I quit tomorrow. Next day came, all right, you ready to quit? No, I'll quit tomorrow because they're looking for people to quit. You quit,
yeah.
You can just walk away.
You're like, maybe tomorrow. Maybe I got through today, but maybe tomorrow. And they're just like, gah. Fine, be one of us. Now, let me ask you this. Oh, let me go back real quick for our listener and for anyone. They have changed a lot of bases in the U.S. military because of past names, Confederate and things like that. So now Fort Benning is called Fort Moore. And that's right. Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there, because they are making, I want to get real with it and start appreciating what they're doing here. So Fort Moore was Fort Benning. And wow, I mean, that's a whole nother phase right there. I grew up in an armory in Utah with my dad running the armory and all the guys, and it was a very different day. And now we've flipped that page, and a lot of the same brick structures are still on bases that are from those eras, and all of that juju of trying to do the right thing with naming these bases, and now they go and say, hey, we got to get rid of that and that stigma on it. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, things change in the military. I mean, I wore 5 or 6 different types of uniforms just in 30 years, So much changes. I think Fort Bragg was the only one that didn't name it after somebody, someone, because they call it Fort Liberty. But the rest were named after great Americans that served either as infantry guys or, the aviators that they named Fort Rucker after.
Right.
Great well Americans. Well deserved. So, hey, build flow. I mean, I still say Fort Bragg. A lot just because it's embedded in me, not
100%
disrespectful, but and Benning because I couldn't remember it was more
right.
See the list, but yeah, I mean they're all still the same, and the structures and the people make it anyway, like you said, and some of those places they're just timeless. I mean, I love going to Fort Benning, Fort Moore, and just seeing the jump tower and all those the old barracks and some of them are gone now. Been driving around those places.
When you were at Fort Moore, Fort Benning, okay, it's almost like Twitter and X. I swear, it's like when you were there, though, okay. When you were there, were you there during the time that the tank division was merged into the infantry base there, and they had a mechanized unit, and then all of a sudden, outside the base, the M1 Abrams was painted light blue?
No, I wasn't. They did have an infantry unit there. When I went through, but just one battalion. But when they moved the armor school of Fort Knox, I was actually still the division command sergeant major for 1ID. And we had more brigades in that division at the time than any division in the Army. We had 8 brigades. And 3 of them were outside of Fort Riley. 5 on Fort Riley, and then 1 at Fort Knox, where the armor school was at, 1 at Fort Sill, and 1 at Fort Leonardwood. And we actually go out and visit the folks at Fort Knox. And I think I was chatting with one of the senior leaders there. I can't remember who, but they had just had a meeting with one of the congressmen or senators from Kentucky. And we already knew this at Fort Riley, that they were really upset that the armor school was moving away from Fort Knox. Because, I mean, as as everybody is aware, I mean, a military organization brings a lot of money to a state. I mean, a lot of money.
Oh,
so
it's
they
huge.
Did not want to. Fort Knox is still open, but there's human resources and the ROTC command, I think, is about all that's left there. We've got a good friend, Jimmy Locke, that was my XO and S3 at Battalion Brigade that works up there in the HR area. I haven't talked to him about it, but I imagine it's a pretty like a ghost town now.
Yeah.
That was a huge footprint that moved away from there. Of course, Georgia was happy. Fort Moore got really big, a lot of new buildings and you know, new infrastructure.
And a whole new payroll from a whole new brigade moving in, right, within that 2 mile splash zone of a base, right? There's usually, you know, going off base within 2 miles, you go to the local pub, get something to eat, the tailor shop, you know, you got your, you know, area that those businesses right there, the economic burden that they have to sustain, you know, of losing all of those patrons. Because, yeah, you know, we're going to shift them. And I'm glad there's a base open here, Hill Air Force Base in Utah. We were talking briefly about how you stayed here or came out here to do some stuff. You know, it was always on the, it was possible. It was always on the chopping block at one point. And they're always like, we won't let it happen. And when I was released, when I was redoing my lease for my shop up there right outside Hill, I said, hey, I want a clause in here that says I can back out of our contract if the base gets shut down. And the landowner looked at me like, what? That'll never happen. I was like, well, then put it in the contract.
Especially with the business that you got. It's the
War Games. I do War Games. I sell, yeah, war. Yeah, I have like a whole, I have a couple stores. I have an indoor shoot house up there that, you know, we have all the guns on the wall, all the combat, battle rattle, everything. Yeah, it would be, it would affect all, it would affect all the pizza places, literally, you know, like these guys that get, you know, 5-6 pizzas sent up to the squadron would be gone.
Yeah, I remember during, I was very Fort Campbell during, when the first Gulf War went down. I mean, probably 50% of the businesses around Fort Campbell just either just took a break and stopped and didn't open back up, or just, you know, with like COVID, I guess, you know, just everything shut down.
Yeah, and that, and living through that and knowing that, I think I've put myself and my company in a good spot for that again. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said, hey, if you're willing to say it'll never shut the, they'll never shut the base down, then put it in the contract. If you're not scared, then don't be scared. Right. It's okay. Yeah. Now that you're out of the military, okay, the both of you are out, are you re-enlisting at all, Sean? Is this something in your life or you're done?
No. I actually got med boarding. So I went through a medical chapter and got pushed out. So yeah.
Congratulations.
You know, it's a bittersweet ending, but I'm done.
How many med boards did you have to go through before you got the rating that you deserved?
You know, I did the initial med board to get pushed out, and then I think one or two after that.
I think I got reevaluated twice.
Yeah, I think I got reevaluated twice, and then that was that.
Do you think that you really needed to be reevaluated twice?
Are you asking?
I'm asking you. See, so going through an MEB board, you have to, you know, go through. They're gonna give you a rating, XYZ. You know, when you get out of the military, your DD-214 gets stamped with whatever. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, I've dealt with a med board. It was a bit of a back and forth circus.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just like, you know, who are these people,
yeah,
that are running these things?
Yeah. There's good and bad. I mean, some stuff, you know, obviously gets reevaluated because you could get better. I got a letter one time saying that, you know, they were going to take a look at the portion of my VA disability that my back,
right, which
your back is combined into everything. So all the stuff by your back is really just one thing, but one of mine is degenerative disc disorder, sure, and arthritis. And, you know, just by virtue of the name degenerative, it's not going to get any better. And so that was kind of odd to me. But anyway, it sorted itself out. I know a lot of great people working at the VA doing these things. And
you did, know, you have to get any outside counsel to help you with your MEB board, or did you guys just get it done with your own ingenuity, right?
No, actually, you know, I got the DAV to help me out. And then, what was that other organization?
I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
but that's the one you gave me.
Yeah, there was another company that, or organization
that got involved.
That we went through. Yeah.
So, to help, I mean, advocate. It's good.
You can only have one advocate,
right,
as far as the VA is concerned. So you have to go in and change it yourself. Mine is still the DAV, but they've got an office out here at the VA hospital that we both go to. The DAV's actually got an office there. So it's a good. It's a good one to have.
It's a good person.
Yeah, the VA in the Orlando area is great.
I mean, and I bring that up because, you know, here we are. Right?
Yeah.
It's a real thing. It's a conversation of after the military. There's others that are probably listening that have been through the same exact office, you know, the same exact, you know, process. And it might have been frustrating for them. And I'm just trying to, or not. It could have been seamless. It's like, hey, the obvious injuries, it's 100% rated, you're out, you know, or it's, you're 30%. Oh, now you're 40, 50%. No, if you keep getting, now you're 60%. Well, we'll just roll you into 100%. I'd like the VA just to kind of like say, hey, you did your time. You're good to go. Here's your, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to get at. Maybe you can hear what I'm saying.
I probably didn't have as much angst or problems as a lot of people just because by virtue of my position.
Right.
So I sat down with one of the doctors at the hospital at Fort Riley, and they went through, and anybody can have this done, but I mean, you know, basically I said, hey, I'm going to show up for this. And they had, you know, one of the senior doctors went through page by page, you know, with me on things, and then, you know, went to the VA and, was it at in Kansas? Anyway, went to a VA hospital in Kansas and kind of finished everything up. And there was a couple of things that I had never had done before. I had some high-speed hearing tests that I had never done before, you know, more than the standard hearing test that determined I had. I knew I had tinnitus anyway.
Yeah.
I had the ring, but it actually, you know, was able to, you know, fit it down on paper. So I think the system now is a lot better because they – I think they started this before you got out, to where before you would get out and have to continue the process of doing everything. And then they changed it to where, all right, you're going to have everything done before you get out of the Army, you know, final sign out, so to speak, or day out. I think that's what kind of you went through in Hawaii there.
No, that's crazy. And I would say that at the VA, you know, what I'm trying to point out is that, you know, it might sometimes get a bad rap from people who don't go through the process, like the outsiders that are saying the VA isn't supporting its veterans, or the, you know, the process is very convoluted with, you know, hurdles. And I know it is, right? There is red tape involved with, you know, going through the process. But I still want to say that we still have something that is better than nothing. Right. Going to the VA, being able to go there. I've been to England and I've been to other places, and they don't quite have the same infrastructure for the veterans services. What we kind of take for granted here in the US as an American, we are like, oh, it's just not good enough. But if you go and just take a second and look outside of ourselves and see what anybody else has for their veterans, it's like, that's right, mate. You get one day a week, one day a year with your medals, and that's cool with us. And the rest of the day, it's like, where's their veterans? So it's good to hear that you had a good experience and that you've had decent experiences. You know, I've always, like I said, I've gone to the VA. I've taken my dad to the VA. My mom was the VA caregiver. Holy cow. Power to the moms out there that are pushing around all the dads that are 245, 50, 60 pounds now because they can't help it in a wheelchair.
Yeah, you see a lot of them out there. Yeah, you talk about other militaries. My last overseas gig was training Nigerian soldiers. And although they have a volunteer army, they really do not get treated well at all. I was teaching patrolling techniques over there, and there were guys show up, and they'd be sitting under a tree, and I said, hey, what's wrong with him? Well, he's got malaria, or he's got typhoid. I said, what is he doing out here? Send him back to the barracks.
Yeah, put a mask on him.
Yeah. And then, you know, they had a protein shake and a loaf of bread for their meals.
And they were content.
Yeah, they were happy. I mean, you know, they're fighting the Boko Haram up north, you know.
Wow, yeah.
Pretty brutal insurgency. And, you know, they're joining and fighting for their country, literally, because they're, you know, they've got people that, you know, are inside it and invaded it that, you know, are trying to change things. Of course, there's a lot of corruption over there. They've got a lot of money. They've got enough money through oil for it to be a, you know, more
well-state
country, but all the corruption keeps it from happening. There's the haves and the have-nots.
Right, because if there's any humanitarian food coming in, it's getting collected by whoever wants the humanitarian effort. If there's any, right, and then they're going to distribute it out to themselves.
Yeah. Never works. That never works too well unless we're on the ground.
What's their water situation where you were at? What was the water like? Was it like, did they have wells? Did they have did the places you were at have?
So we drank bottled water. Nobody drank out of the, some people may have drank out of wells, but they had these little, they would carry it around in big carts and sell it. They're little plastic bags of water. I mean, really soft. So they just punch a hole in it. We had
a Capri Sun or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ate a lot of chicken over there and a lot of rice. Much of a variety.
Pretty good, though. Pretty good cooking.
Yeah. They one of the big staples of their diet are these huge football-sized sweet potatoes. And they allowed them to farm on the military installation. So as we're out there training on the ground, patrolling,
he's all like out there picking weeds at the same time
and farming and picking and doing their thing. And they do a lot of it by hand.
He's like low crawling, but he's like just clearing out the cucumbers, moving along. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
We tried not to, you know, get in the farmer's way because we didn't want to upset them. But, you know, sometimes we had so many things going on that, you know, they had to, you know, put a little halt to their
farming.
I mean, I enjoy training them a lot. I made some good friends over there. It's a State Department run thing all across Africa.
Yeah.
That, you know, take and help train military. We just try to teach them U.S. tactics, which are a lot better than the old tactics that they're using, so that they're able to fight a lot more productively, a lot better.
Probably moving in like a column formation, lining up, just like getting the basics.
Yeah, they have a lot of old kind of, you know, a lot of British influence there.
Yeah, like they want to probably like walk.
Yeah. But the first battalion we trained, they went straight up north to fight. And, you know, we were getting reports that they were doing really well. So we were pretty happy to hear about that. We did patrolling, convoy, train them, you know, hit the ranges and try to make them a little better. They carry AK-47s, RPGs, and Soviet style Russian
weaponry,
you know, weapon systems. Did some land navigation, some leadership training, and things like that. So that's a lot of fun. That's my passion, training. Teaching, training, instructing, and I know Sean enjoys that well. You know, coaching, all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's just
my favorite thing to do. No matter if it's a little kid, you know, the grandsons or somebody else.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
We do that all the time at the arena. You know, we're always instructing and coaching mass amounts of just regular public people showing up 16 to 20 at a time. And it's like they never met each other, maybe a couple, but here we are. First thing we do is we install like a handshake or a high five. We're all on the same team. If we're going to split up and shoot each other, you're still on the same team. Okay.
Yeah, me and Sean have been wanting to do that, so we got to make our way out to Utah and get out and check out your place.
I would open the door for you. You just have to just show up. It would be no problem, okay? Especially if you've been on the show, that's a pass.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we do night vision. We go out in the deserts. We got nods. We got guys that have got more in their eyewear than they have in their vehicles. Yeah, white phosphor.
Yeah, pricey.
Civilians. former guys like yourselves, maybe they're looking for some camaraderie. They can't find a hobby that they fit in. Then maybe they don't want to go snowboard because there's no snow. Maybe they can't skateboard because they just can't. Maybe. But you can go airsoft. You can come out to the desert. You can walk around with me and 40 other people who all want to walk around the desert with rifles. And then we wave at each other. And if you don't wave back, we shoot you. And then it just keeps going. So it's like, it's really a nice day walking in the Utah desert or the mountains, exploring, looking for cucumbers to weed, and then coming into contact. And then that happens so fast and everything happens. Then you settles, if you will, like the dust, and you kind of like, all right, he got shot. He's walking back. He's dead. Okay, he'll learn from that. I'm still alive. And the rounds are still coming over your head. So you get this camaraderie, this like shoulder to shoulder. It's like, I'm out of ammo. It's like, here's some ammo. You know, it's like, hey, then we got a grenade. Yeah, here, better to have one than not have one. You know, it's like, so I find that, you know, today's airsofter, whether they're a 15-year-old who's playing wholeheartedly, just like they got it down, they got all the gear, they're all decked out, and they might become tomorrow's you, right? So this is a good segue for them to say, hey, you know, these guys did it. They're successful. There's life after what they did. They've made it through by listening to their instructors and using their training wisely and just, you know, being smart, right? That's what we want to show. I'm giving you these credits.
we've been on a kick recently where we're watching a few videos from this guy on YouTube, Kicking Mustang.
Yes,
is his channel.
Yes,
former British SAS sniper, I think, and he does these videos. And every time we watch it, well, I don't think either of us have ever done airsoft. I've done paintball a few times, every time we watch these Kicking Mustang videos, we're like, yeah, we gotta.
So
it could be pricey and it could be time consuming, but that's something we got to get into.
I tell my guys that kind of like, there's this fine line where people are like, I shoot real guns. I'm like, that's cool. Who do you shoot them at? That's what I say. I'm like, you shoot real guns. Okay, cool. They want to come at me. It's like, I shoot real guns. I'm like, that's great. Nothing will ever replace the smell or the violence of a real rifle or a real gun. Nothing. Okay. That you need to know that. But airsoft and war games is a whole nother game. It's cardio, conditioning. I'm moving with my equipment. I have it on me. I know how it's going to work on my body. My headset's all set up. I'm dialed in. And the 15, 12-year-old, 30, 70-year-old, they're all dialed in, right? And so
I think getting into that mindset of, you know, the heightened state of awareness where you're thinking about tactics constantly. Like you said, it's not just a stroll in the park or whatever. It's heightened awareness for an extended amount of time, and getting yourself into that mindset is a sense of training in itself.
Fitness for your brain.
Yep.
And if you haven't put face paint on in anticipation of hunting somebody, there's nothing like it. And I look at your dad, Sergeant Major, and you've got a skull for some stripes. You know what I mean? I can only imagine. I like to go all green with three black stripes. A little commando meets the green. Okay. That's me. And I pull my hair back just like this, put it into a ball. I braid my beard into two braids, like this. And then I just become small and just go at it with 300 of us. You know, sometimes we'll use military installations.
So if I was a recruiter out in your area, I'd be taking guys out of here. You know,
so I'm not paid by anybody, right? I actually choose this path of life where they have said, hey, Rad, how can we? And I'm like, we don't want to actively ruin the game by being, you know, like, you got to join. Yeah. I'm a recruiter on a Saturday. It's like, yeah, if you're a recruiter and it's a Saturday and you got to do something, you should go play airsoft. And I don't mean poach airsoft. I mean, you should play it. You should go there and you should just shoulder to shoulder with these guys and gals and just kind of buddy up and say, oh, you know, I'm not here to do anything. I just want to play. It'll happen. I've put in over probably 750 different people in my 20 years of airsoft. As a COI, as a center of influence for the Army, as a, you know, and that was in 2007, 2009, 2010. And I've just kind of done it now. Just if you want to join, if you're on the fence, if you're at a 1 or a 10 on the scale of joining, just go 10. That's how I say it. If you're even on the scale, if you're even stepping on that mofo, just go for it. Just step into an office, talk to somebody and see if they talk to you the way you want. And if that's what you get, then that's what you got. That's me. And there you go. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force. There you go. From Soft Rep and Love here. I'm all about it. You know, it's like, if I didn't try and go as far as I did, if you didn't try and go as far as you did, we wouldn't have, like you said, these bonds, these stories, just who we are. So we need. Go ahead.
And I learned a lot about my physical fitness, and the best advice I got from the first station commander that I had for years, and I would stay out to keep going back to the infantry, but was it just to be yourself. And that worked well for me in recruiting. And you can't be too, you got a lot of recruiters that come across as, you know, they need you. They gotta have.
DL selected recruiters. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just act like, you know, it didn't matter to me. They give you all the information. And I used to take guys up to and gals up to Fort Irwin. That was the closest Army base. And I tell them, hey, just pick somebody and go talk to them.
Right.
You know, I got no influence. I didn't talk to anybody. Pick somebody and talk to them.
Right.
About it and decide, you know, what you want to do. I mean, here's the benefits. I mean, and there's certain things that you can't change. You know, I don't want to cut my hair. You know, you have to, you know, they taught us to feel felt fine or some method. Hey, I know how you feel. I felt the same way, but I found that this,
sure,
you know, and then there's other things that people just, they think the Army or military service is like being in jail. Like you can't do anything, you know, on the weekends or whatever, because they're talking to their uncle, you know, who's a Korean War vet, and you know, he's telling them this and that about it. And
he's like, my toes, you don't understand about Korea. Army in my toes. You're like, oh, you're like, damn. Sorry,
Korea. Nothing against the Korean War vets, but
no, I love you, Korea. You know, if you're out there, thank you. Call me, hit me up, and drop me an email. Let's get you on the show, Korea. If you're out there, hit me up. I'm down to interview you. But I would say that I forgot. Well, I didn't forget. I just realized that you're also a recruiter, that you had done that and worn that hat. And so I just like passive. I just want them to come out and have a good time. They can drive their gov car with their gov plate. I'll know who they are. But, you know, these guys out there, they're young kids who are emulating the best, which is like a Green Beret or a Navy SEAL. Our number one export. Okay, let me put it this way. In other countries like Japan, airsoft is huge, and they want to dress up like the best. And the request is all the time, do you have any Navy SEAL or Green Beret loadouts? That's what I hear. And that's because that's our number one export. It's the best. That's the number one thing that America has. The number one best thing we have is our military with its machine, and it's exporting it. We send it all over the world. So here they are wanting to be Navy SEALs and Green Berets. So I'm not mad at the young kid who's dressed like that. It's the guy that's trying to get on a base using that image to try to say he is something to gain ill things. Okay. Yeah. That's where I have this stolen valor situation. Mm-hmm. It's not the kid. Kobe Bryant would not walk up to the basketball court and say, take my shoes and my jersey off, little kid. You're not Kobe. He would not do that. He'd be like, oh, hey, here's a headband and here's some sweats and here's this. You're wearing my gear. You know, so these guys that are in this world, you guys, they don't have a problem with the youth wearing, like, you know, a Navy SEAL trident on their shoulder because they want to be one. They're like, just take that step. Go for it. Try it. But then you get the kids in airsoft that have asthma that could never join, that never have the option to. And so here they are getting to fight alongside of someone like Sean, okay, who has been in at a sergeant level. And now they're like, wow, I'm actually like shoulder to shoulder with this dude and he's tossing me a grenade. You know, that's something that they would never, ever have gotten that experience of doing. That's me. I'm just letting you know. I love a happiness. I love my AK. I love redwood forest trees and my military. And, you know, I'm cool if they just want to be free and freedom of choice for yourself. You can tattoo yourself, but just don't tattoo me with your tattoo. That's it. Remember the AK. Well, I know I've had you on for a little over an hour, and we're just talking as a casual conversation. And I want my listener to know out there that you can just talk to somebody. Like he said, go on base. If you have a question, ask somebody who's in. You don't have to ask your recruiter. Ask somebody else who's in. Say, hey, what do you think? You're in the Navy. I'm thinking about going Army. Why'd you go Navy? You know, what I find is that a lot of people join the Air Force after seeing a Navy commercial of the ocean washing away the sand footprints of the Navy SEALs that are sneaking. But then they're like, where's that at? And I'm like, but you joined the Air Force. I'm like, come play some airsoft. Come here. Come on. But at the end of the day, you know, if you want the Navy SEAL, you got to go Navy SEAL. If you want infantry, you got to go infantry. You got to do that.
Yeah, I used to even I bring in the folks that struggled so much that we had no choice but to put them out. you know, chapter them out or whatever. They've been in so much trouble, so many problems. I've written in all the time and, you know, let them know that I cared about, you know, them after, you know, what they're trying to figure out what their plans were. Of course, some of them didn't want to have anything to do with it because they were so, you know, upset about, you know, being put out. But then there were others that would listen. And, you know, I would tell them, I said, you know, when you go out there, you can still be a recruiter for the Army, even though, you know, it wasn't for you or you got in so much trouble. You
That's
know,
right.
Maybe you finished it up together. But, you know, if your cousin Johnny comes up to you, you know, and it says, you know, what do you think about me joining the Army? I mean, don't project your experiences, you know, on him. Let him know, hey, you know, it wasn't for me. You know, if he knows, or you don't have to tell him, you know, tell him the truth about, you know, the military, you know, the goods and the bad. Because people need to know. Don't be so, you know, negative that you go out and just bad mouth the service all the time. That was just, you know, a piece of advice that I gave to him. I said, because this might be something that really works out for a friend of yours or a relative or something. This might be something that they need or that they want or that they would do well at. Just because you didn't doesn't mean that, you know, just because it wasn't for you doesn't mean that, you know, not for somebody else. So,
you know, and also to the parent out there that, I know this exists because I know this, right? Because I deal with all these younger kids, 16, 17s, and the parents put them on an Adderall or on a other style of, like, you know, ADD style pill that just prevents them from being able, because they want to go. These kids are like 17 and they're just like chomping at the bit to get in. They got all their gear. And the parent probably knows, oh, I'm going to lose little Billy, right? So I just am like, anyways, there's only so much a waiver can do. Yeah. But, go talk to a career professional for our United States military if you're listening, right? And you heard it here from myself and from Sean and from Charles. You know, give it a shot if it's something in your thought process, right? You never know until you try. Boy, I mean, again, I've had you for a long time, and I could always have you back. You guys are always welcome to come back. And this isn't like the last time we can have a conversation. We can even get in more depth about the books that you write and that you're an author and that you have all these things, right? Don't you have books that you've written?
I've got some stuff that I'm working on and some military stuff that, you know, I did. But yeah, Matt, like me and Sean are bounce around these ideas. I got the latest one is to just the stories of stupidity from, you know, the military. Me and him both got plenty of them.
Let's put that in our book club.
Some funny little stories. Yeah, yeah.
Please,
yeah,
please, please.
Everybody, I think people that have never, and this is the idea that, like he said, him and I bounced around and I bounced around with my best friend from the Army when we first got in. You know, I was only in a year or two and we started bouncing this idea around because we saw it already. People that don't really have any affiliation with the military, they think typically one of two things. They think, like you said earlier, military people, or like you guys were talking about earlier, life in the military is just so completely structured and it's like a jail where, you know, there's no fun. You know, no family life, none of that. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is people think that everybody in the military is very squared away. They all have, you know, best heads on their shoulders and there's never any problems. And, you know, my experience with the people that I was really close with and a lot of his experience was, you know, it's the complete opposite. You know?
Right.
And a lot of people, a lot of veterans could attest to that. Most people that come from the military are, you know, they're kind of maniacs in a sense. And but that's, you know, it takes that sort of person to be, I don't know if well adapted is the right word, but to, you know,
do
to
the job.
Thrive in, yeah, to do the job, to thrive in that lifestyle. And what that kind of equates to is, or what that ends up with is, like you said, some stories of stupidity. And that's, to me, that's, you know, the stuff that'll live forever in my memories is these funny stories with your buddies and your.
You know, I was once told we don't always need the Boy Scouts on the team, Rat. He's like, someone has to kill Grandma, steal car, and complete objective. And I was like, damn, yeah, you're right, huh? Someone does have to kill Grandma, steal the car, and complete the objective. So, okay, I'm just that. Look, it's crazy. I loved having you guys on the show, right? Soft Rep is a welcome platform for you to come in out here anytime and just have a nice conversation and we can just. I hope you guys have had a great time and enjoyed the fireplace. That's real. It's not a green screen, you know. Yeah, it's real. Oh, I'm in Utah, baby. That's a nice rock wall and everything. I'm like, I got a background.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's getting cold here. It's down in the high 60s.
It just snowed in high elevations here in Ute. Snowbird, Alta, and Brighton just got 6 inches of snow. I ride at Brighton religiously throughout this winter year. So in the
nice.
You're lucky to get. We're lucky to do this podcast now because 10 a.m. any other day during the winter, I'm up on the mountain.
Nice.
So it's usually a night shoot. I'm like 7 o'clock at night. Does that work for you? All right. Well, listen, I just want to say thank you on behalf of Charles and Sean Sasser, both awesome veterans of our United States Army and military and good human beings that are trying to do the right thing in life. And my name is Rad as your host for Soft Rep. I want to remind you, go check out our merch. Go check out the book club, which is softrep.com. book-club, and just enlist. And I want to say shout out to Brandon Webb, to Anton, and to Mark, and everybody on the back end that always make the show what it is. I really appreciate it, and I'm truly blessed to be here. So on behalf of my two guests, I just want to say thank you and peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.